Good evening. My name is Diana. I have a new life in Christ, and I am recovering from fear, anxiety, and people-pleasing. As I have discovered my passion for traveling and journeying to different places, I have also come to see my recovery as a journey. Anyone who has ever taken a trip somewhere knows that unexpected flight cancellations, passport misplacements, and forgetting the camera are all possibilities of things that can happen. Some of these things that happen, I may have no control over, while others may be no one's fault but my own. Whatever the case, the Lord's faithfulness is steadfast along the way, whether journeying to South America or wrestling through my recovery. I am still a work in progress. I will never fully arrive this side of heaven. This is not my story, but rather his story of grace and mercy, reaching out to free me from bondage. I was born in Billings, Montana. My mother had been a believer in Christ since the young age of 6, but my father was not a believer when they met. Both of my parents had lost one of their parents at the tender age of 13. The pain from these losses affected my parents as they believed such lies as not being good enough or thinking that life could be found in friends and partying. When I was 10 months old, my mom was diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease, a type of lymphoma cancer. Because of all the radiation and chemotherapy, she was unable to carry a later pregnancy of twin little sisters past the 5th month, which made me an only child. My mom bravely fought the cancer and wanted to live to help raise me and see me grow up. During this time, my dad was working on a ranch and was paid very little, and the whole situation caused great stress on my parents and their marriage. While I wasn't old enough to remember these details of my earliest years, it set a foundation for the remainder of my life. Our home climate was one of volatility, largely due to my mom's mood swings. Ever heard the expression, "When mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy?" That describes the emotional climate of our home. Sometimes I was never quite sure if something I would say or do would get me in trouble or if mom would be okay with it. It largely seemed like the flip of a coin to guess. Sometimes she would be so angry with me or my dad that she would refuse to speak with us, or if she did, she would scream and call us names. I felt like I was walking on eggshells, and I began to learn that acceptance in my home was based largely on my performance, regardless of my mom telling me she loved me no matter what. And as a child, this was confusing to me. Even from early childhood, I remember having a sense of fear, afraid of making mom angry or displeased with me. My family regularly attended church, and when I was 8, I understood the facts of salvation, that Jesus died for my sins and rose again from the grave 3 days later, that I could have eternity in heaven with him when I died, and I knew I was a sinner in need of God's grace. My mom talked to me about accepting Jesus, and I decided this was what I wanted to do. Amazingly enough, our pastor had been talking to my dad about Jesus and becoming a Christian, and so that same year, we both asked Jesus to be the Lord of our lives. And thus began my spiritual journey with Jesus. But I struggled with believing in my head and heart that I didn't need to perform to be forgiven or accepted. I could tell you the truths I grew up learning in Sunday school, but it wouldn't be until college that I began to connect the head knowledge of God's truth with my heart and then truly understand what grace is. As a child, I developed a perfectionistic personality, which showed itself in my pouring of everything into academics. When I looked at grades, the only acceptable grade was an A, and everything else was a failure. I was also seen by teachers and friends at church as being a good kid, and I soaked in all of the praise. This praise told me I was worth something. I decided early on in high school that I wanted to attend a Christian college, and as my beautiful home state of less than a million people did not offer a 4-year accredited Christian school, I began my college journey to St. Paul, Minnesota, where I attended Northwestern College. My freshman year hit me like a ton of bricks. While I liked being in a place where we prayed before each class, and I was able to take Bible and business classes, my identity was in shambles. I had worked so hard back in Montana to be the all-American girl, but here, no one knew me for any of the things I had worked so hard to achieve in my previous setting. I began to feel worthless, and the stress of being in a completely different environment invited a new struggle into my life, disordered eating. I would binge on sweets only to feel so guilty about it later that I would skip a meal or cautiously ration my food intake. Food became my new sense of comfort, and I thought about food a lot. I knew this obsession wasn't good for me, but I didn't know what to do about it. While I never ended up with a full-blown bulimia or anorexia, I was on the path to it with my disordered eating habits. And when I arrived back on campus for spring semester, the bleak coldness of the long Minnesota winter seemed to prompt me further to seek help with my struggles. As I sought help from the on-campus counseling center, I could see the Lord was at work, breaking down the tough exterior of perfectionism in which I was enmeshed, and he was showing me that my significance is not to be found in achievements, accomplishments, nor in being the nice girl. My significance is found only in Christ as his child, and that I could really trust that his love for me is deep and not based on my performance. One of my favorite verses is Isaiah 54:10, "Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you." My head began connecting with my heart, and I was experiencing true freedom from the bondage of perfectionism. Growing up, I think I could have told you that I was special because I was God's child, but I didn't really believe it until the Lord put me in a place where I would wholly believe the truth with intellect and heart. While this huge breakthrough was happening, I was still imprisoned by my constant thoughts about food and sought comfort from the stresses of college life and my family relationships by eating. It seemed like turning to cookies for comfort helped for the immediate time, but only leaving me feeling guilty later. Another interesting thing happened to me during that unforgettable freshman year. Living in the dorms with my two very different and spunky roommates taught me much about myself, and that I could be accepted in spite of being distant, hesitant, and self-absorbed at times throughout that year. I felt free to be myself and didn't walk on eggshells, and really felt my sisters in Christ embrace me for who I was and am to this day. I discovered that life doesn't have to be one of relational tension, fear, and trying not to rock the boat, but that honest discussion and healthy conflict resolution can be a normal, everyday way to live life. This was freeing for me and gave me a renewed vision for what a healthy family could look like. That year was such a journey. I returned to Northwestern for my sophomore year, joyful that I knew who I was in Christ, and yet simultaneously ensnared by my secret disordered eating habits. I felt so much shame with the struggle and felt so alone. Many times I felt like I would struggle alone and forever with this issue. And it wasn't until the spring of 2005 that I listened to the Lord's truth. I remember waking up Easter morning and felt the Lord telling me, "You are going to be free from this." I knew exactly what he meant, as my heart was so troubled by my food addiction secret. I knew what I needed to do in order to begin to be free from my disordered eating. James 5:16 tells us, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." Upon returning back to campus after Easter break, God gave me the courage to tell other girls in my life about my struggle with food. They were supportive and good listeners. One shared that she had struggled with an eating disorder. She faithfully prayed for me and checked in on me during our accountability times. Shame associated with the secret melted, as what had been in the dark was now in the light. I felt so much freedom from not holding the secret inside any longer. Even though I was then just beginning the hard work of turning to the Lord first before going to the cupboard for a cookie when I was feeling stressed or needed some comfort, I experienced growing victories and more confidence in living out my true identity as a daughter of the King. As many college seniors wrestle with where they're going after graduation, I was no exception among this group. I applied to a few jobs, but felt like there was something more for me. I chose to be a part of a short-term missions experience abroad in Quito, Ecuador, where one of my roommates had experienced the same program. I was eager for this new journey, and the pieces began to fall into place. While a dream of mine to serve the Lord abroad was coming true, it caused some significant problems between my mom and me. My mom felt hurt because I hadn't discussed Ecuador with her, but had gone ahead pursuing my goal. After returning to Montana after graduation, I apologized to my mom for hurting her feelings and acknowledged I should have spoken more with her about it. My mom was still hurt and angry about what had happened, and as a result, she hardly spoke with me, and when she did, it was short and cutting. I felt alone and crippled by fear as I prepared for this significant life change. I remembered more than once having suicidal thoughts during the first few weeks I was home, longing for my feelings of rejection and pain to end. As the summer progressed, my parents began to grow more comfortable with the idea that I was going to be leaving, and my mom eventually started speaking with me again. The day my parents dropped me off at the train station to begin my journey to Ecuador, they told me they were proud of me and loved me. It meant a lot to hear them say that to me, and I was glad to have their support, although I could feel some callousness towards them as I protected my heart from further pain. My time in Ecuador was an amazing, life-changing experience. I learned so much about the Lord, His heart for people, and myself. I still struggled with my disordered eating habits while there, but again saw God give me victory and was able to practice trusting in Him in the midst of my fears of language barriers, adapting to life in a new country, and with the overall direction of my life. When I returned to Montana, my parents were so glad to see me, and I was genuinely happy to see them. I was pleasantly surprised by the support I had from my parents for the following couple of months as I lived with them and began to search for my grown-up job. I found a position and was offered a job with a Christian travel organization located in McKinney, Texas. Having no clue where this was, I looked on a map to see it located near Dallas. Well, it was a full-time job with health insurance, which my parents both heartily supported, and they felt like Texas was much closer than Ecuador, so they helped me to pack up and get settled in McKinney. After they left, I was beginning yet another journey with the Lord. I met my amazing husband, Chris, about 6 weeks after moving here, and developed some friendships with godly women who were precious to me. By this time, my struggle with finding comfort in food and obsessing about it was an area that God had hugely transformed in me, and all praise and credit goes to Him for this victory. As my relationship with Chris progressed, I had shared with my family about this guy I was seeing, and found myself yet again desperately wanting their approval on a guy I was choosing to date. As I could see Chris's passion to know and follow God, my parents, from hundreds of miles away, could not, and they were not excited about the relationship. My own fears and doubts and desires to please my parents drove me to break off the relationship with Chris for 5 months. I had been afraid of taking the risk to trust the Lord by holding on loosely to the relationship and not let the what-ifs rule my way of thinking about it. Peace returned to me when I stopped worrying about the relationship and the what-ifs associated with it, and I put it back in God's hands. Chris and I sought wise counsel through the time following the breakup through participation in Watermark's Merge class for pre-married couples, and we soon married on April 24th, 2010. The first year Chris and I were married was tumultuous with my parents, with a cycle of me trying to please them and feeling rejected and hurt when they did not validate me or express approval in the way I was seeking. Bringing Chris into my family of origin mix that first year was hard, and as a result, I could see that I was at the end of myself. Truly desperate for God to work. A couple of good girlfriends had spoken about their own personal journeys through recovery and what a difference it had made in their lives. At this point, I was willing to do anything to be free from the boulders of fear and anxiety that had been my travel companions for so long. So in March 2011, I went to Regeneration for the first time and began a new journey with the Lord. Through working the steps at Regen, I began to realize that most of the decisions in my life had been made out of fear, whether trying to please those in my sphere of influence so I could feel validated, or because I didn't trust God to take care of my circumstances. The most transformational steps for me are, and still continue to be, steps 8 and 9, which are extending forgiveness to those I have been hurt by and making amends with those I have hurt. As a child, I had known that I should forgive others because God tells us we should. But during recovery, these concepts of forgiveness and amends were like I was learning about them for the first time. It first started with realizing how much the Lord has forgiven me, which is far more than I would ever need to forgive someone else. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." I learned forgiveness is an event and a process. We have the choice today to no longer hold an offense against someone else, and when we do this, it is a one-time event of forgiving them. But we may also need to continually release the pain of a situation and resentment we have again and again to the Lord, making it also a process. The most healing for me came through working these steps, especially in forgiving my mom for past hurts and acknowledging and asking for her forgiveness and the ways in which I hurt her. Today, my relationship with my mom is different. And while the journey with her has often been a strenuous climb, our relationship is at a genuinely good place. We're both making steps towards growing our relationship in healthy ways. I've considered the verse Psalm 27:10, "May my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." For most of my life, pleasing my parents and those around me was how I felt acceptance and worth. But through my recovery process, I have taken to heart that God's acceptance and approval is ultimately more important than what any other person wants me to say, do, or be. One of the most beautiful truths given to us is God's unconditional love through Jesus. In order to be accepted by God, we don't have to try to be good enough or come to him with our acts cleaned up. Romans 5:8 tells us, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God wants us to come to him just as we are, without pretense, and allow him to begin healing our hurts and changing our hearts as we surrender our lives to him. Since being in recovery, I have gained more courage and insight to care more about what God thinks instead of being consumed by gaining approval from my parents or others in my sphere of influence. This is still a struggle for me, but it is so amazing to see how God continues to work in my life in this way in spite of my failures. While the Lord has given me so much victory in the areas of perfectionism and disordered eating habits, I still wrestle sometimes with old thought patterns or behaviors that tempt me to go back to where I was, especially in moments of insecurity. God has used the tool of Regen to work in my life in a powerful way, and he has allowed me to walk alongside other women in their recovery journeys. I am grateful for each of the women in my group, and I'm so encouraged by their honesty and how they invite the Lord to work in their lives. Our group is now entering into steps 8 and 9, and I am excited for them. I'm also eager for the Lord to continue to guide me through these steps as he continues to give me compassion for those I've previously felt hurt by. I know this is a work of God because only he could change my heart from bitterness and resentment to true compassion for others. If you are here for the first time tonight, welcome. We're so glad you're here. There is no sin too small or too big that God can't forgive. No matter what your past has been, no matter what your present looks like, the Lord wants to begin a new journey with you tonight, where he will heal your heart and make beauty from ashes along the way. It won't be a quick fix or even a 10-year plan to being problem-free. Regen is not about completing a 12-step program for behavior modification, but rather allowing the God of the universe to take us on the journey of a lifetime to intimately know him and find healing and redemption from sin and life in a broken world. Be assured that God is faithful and will walk with you through the temptations and struggles that you have. A verse of great encouragement, Zephaniah 3:17, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." Recovery in Christ is most definitely a journey we are on for the remainder of our days. Thanks for letting me share my journey with you tonight.